And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Dr. TJ, your host of Wellness 101. For those of you who may be first-time listeners, we are a common-sense, science-based healthcare facility, and we are trying to get as much information out to people that just makes sense. With me, as always, in the studio is my co-host, Aaron. Say hi to everyone, Aaron.
Hi.
How are you today?
Great.
Wonderful. Yeah. And as always, behind the board is our producer extraordinaire, Liz.
Hello.
She's rocking over there.
I'm surprised she didn't get applause.
Yeah. I thought you would applaud yourself.
No, no applause today.
So today's topic, we're gonna talk. This is kind of one of those topics that has spurned itself because of questions that we have received. We get a lot of people that come into the clinic and they ask things like, well, how come I didn't know this? Or how come someone else didn't teach me this? Or how come my other doctors have never said this? And then we have to answer that and address that those questions or those concerns. And so really what it is conventional medicine and chronic disease. Conventional medicine really doesn't have an answer for chronic disease. Pretty much all chronic disease in this country, if you have one, you're just being managed. There's really no solution out there to help you reverse your diabetes, or there isn't a medical model to help you reverse your heart disease. They're just managing the symptoms.
Right. Well, and when we talk about chronic disease, I think it's important to really discuss what we're talking about, because there are so many people who have these chronic diseases and they think of chronic disease as being something, you know, that, I don't know, different than what it is. I mean,
right.
A lot of people that have diabetes or have, you know, heart disease don't think of it as a chronic disease because they're taking a medication for it. And
right.
So they're like, you know, people with a chronic disease are those who are bedridden or, you know, I mean, have a complete inability to function during daily life. And that's just simply not the case. And the fact of the matter is chronic disease is shortening our lifespan. It's destroying our quality of life. It's bankrupting governments and it's threatening the health of future generations.
Yeah, it's tearing us up. I mean, you know, I talk to patients a lot, and especially those that have diabetes. Most people don't understand, if you get a diagnosis of diabetes, type 2 diabetes, we're not talking about type 1, we're talking about type 2, it's an additional $1,000 a year in healthcare costs. Now, those costs are calculated all kinds of different ways. There's loss of work, there's travel time, there's increases in premium costs, there's increases in doctor visits. It's not $1,000 a year, it's $1,000 a month. It's $13,000 a year that your costs come out of your pocket somehow, some way. Somewhere that money's coming from.
Right. It's generally not out of your pocket, which I think is why people, you know, aren't making as big of a change with it as they could be.
Right.
Because, I mean,
it's out of someone's pocket.
It is.
I mean, we're seeing health insurance prices skyrocket.
But for some reason,
increases.
It seems like that isn't, you know, people don't put two and two together. I mean,
you're right.
You know, a lot of people, I know people who are, you know, they're thin and they have diabetes. And so they'll talk about, oh, well, people with diabetes, you know, or, you know, if it doesn't matter if you're thin or you're overweight, if you have diabetes, you're causing part of the problem.
Right.
And the bottom line is that it can be fixed.
Right.
And
many times.
And that's what I think is so frustrating.
Yeah. Many times it can be fixed. And sometimes people, you know, the window of opportunity has passed, but there's an opportunity to significantly improve what's going on.
Right. And it's a large window. Let's
yeah.
be honest. Like, I mean, I think that, you know, it's good to point out that there is a point at which you don't have that opportunity anymore. So you can't wait forever. You can't wait until you're ready for dialysis and then say, okay, I think I want to address
right,
this.
Right.
Like, I mean,
right.
you should have done that 20 years ago.
Right.
But I mean, the window of opportunity is large. And we're not talking about, oh, well, when you're pre-diabetic, of course, that's a great time to start addressing it.
Right.
But we're talking about people with full-blown diabetes that, I mean, you don't have to be on a medication for the rest of your life. And people are floored when they come in and they find
right.
this out because
right.
it's never been addressed.
Right. Well, and then we have, you know, I'll jump on the wagon. We have information out there right now that a lot of people are, you know, claiming and doing all these things that protein and all this stuff is not really good for a person, and that it can, that's what leads to diabetes. That's not what leads to diabetes. Sugar leads to diabetes in all forms. The more sugar you eat, the more likely you are to be diabetic, period, cut and dried. That's what we know, and that's how it is.
And can you talk about, because we're really hitting diabetes here, and that is definitely not the only thing that we're talking about.
Basically, no, sugar feeds heart disease, too.
Right. Well, and I mean, there's so many chronic diseases out there. I mean, I would consider, you know, I mean, depression and anxiety are chronic diseases.
Yeah.
ADD, ADHD.
Half, think about it like this. Half of all Americans right now suffers from some form of chronic disease, and 25% of Americans have multiple chronic diseases.
Yeah. And I think the first point, you know, like I'm saying, is that we actually define what chronic disease is, because I have found that when I've talked to people, they think, you know, that they don't have a chronic disease, but they are, you know, they take thyroid medicine every day, or they're on an antidepressant. And so I just, before we really, and I know we're going to jump into all of this, that this is something that, you know, a lot of people are suffering from, that they may not believe, you know, that they actually have a chronic disease.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is that conventional medicine has failed to adequately address chronic disease. And so it chronic health problems continue to rise.
Right. Right. So for ease of definition, we're not talking about like infections. Somebody gets a sinus infection, something like that. That's not a chronic disease unless you have sinus infection for 10 years, then it becomes chronic.
Right.
I'm talking about
asthma.
Like,
would be chronic.
Asthma would be chronic. Cardiovascular disease is chronic. Kidney disease is chronic.
IBS.
Yeah, IBD. Irritable bowel. Yes. All of those types of things are chronic conditions. If you're taking a medication and your doctor has told you you're going to have to take this for the rest of your life, I can guarantee you have a chronic disease.
Right. And generally, you're not told that. So if you're given a medication and you are told to come back and they will refill it or they will reevaluate and it just, you know, you're
and
never
taking it. And they just keep giving it to you?
Right.
Yeah.
Then the plan is to never take you off of it unless they are then putting you on a new medication.
Right. That's exactly right.
And that means you have a chronic disease.
Right. Just to clarify for everyone out there.
Yeah.
That's it's crazy. And chronic disease is directly responsible for 70% of deaths in this country. You want to know why healthcare costs are skyrocketing? You want to know why your insurance rates are skyrocketing? We are getting sicker as a nation. So, of course, it costs more money. I mean, I just told you that it's a $13,000 per year increase in costs, in medical costs, if you get a diagnosis of diabetes.
Yeah, and that's just one of the many chronic diseases that we're dealing with.
Right. I read somewhere, I don't remember exactly where it was, but it was maybe Harvard, the NHANES study. Somebody did a study, and they basically said the direct and indirect costs of having a heart attack right now is almost $1 million. That's astounding.
Right. But when people aren't paying it out of pocket, then they, you know.
But most policies have, you know, you have to pay 20%. Nobody in this country has $200,000 to just drop on a heart attack.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to have a heart attack. Here's a couple hundred thousand. It's just, it's unsustainable. We have to address chronic disease and fix this. And conventional medicine, the model of that is not going to work.
Yeah. And I just want to
point. And it's proving that it's not going to work
over
and over, year after year.
Right. Well, and science shows that it's not going to work.
Right.
I mean, and that there are ways that do work. And that's what's frustrating. I think what a lot of people have a problem with, and we have a problem with as well, is that you look at it and you think, okay, but if it wasn't the best way to handle it, why would insurance companies cover it?
Right.
Right? I mean, isn't that what, I mean, it makes common sense that insurance companies would want people to be healthy because they wouldn't be paying out as much.
Right.
Unfortunately.
That's not quite how it works.
Your guess is as good as ours because it does not, I mean, there have been some changes. I mean, you know, we've talked with Dr. David Harshfield, who's with our clinic, who does what is it, stem cell?
He does cellular regenerative and cellular medicine.
And companies are starting, insurance companies are starting to cover those sorts of things, which are huge in certain states. But I mean, so there's a slow shift maybe. But I mean, for most chronic disease, I mean, it's medication and we know it doesn't work.
Right. And another little piece of information, we spend in this country almost $4 trillion on healthcare. $4 trillion. That's about $3.8 somewhere between 3.8 and 4. 80+% of that, it's almost 85%, is spent on managing chronic disease. This is astounding. You want to drop healthcare spending in this country by 80%? Fix chronic disease.
Right. And here's the thing.
Fix half of it.
I mean, my thought is, and I know this is not going to probably be a popular opinion, but in some ways, if people, you know, who had chronic issues no longer had insurance and had to go find themselves a way to deal with it, maybe they would find our clinic and they would actually get better. Because unfortunately, the healthcare system right now is they're stuck in a system. It's, you know, like golden handcuffs where they're, you know, they're like, well, I've got health insurance. And so why would I not get the treatment that health insurance covers? Assuming, again, that that must be what's best because insurance companies would, you know, they would cover what would actually treat you, you know, and cure you. But that is not the case.
No, they'll cover the things that'll keep you alive. And they're very good at that. They'll cover you if you're getting a car wreck or have another accident or get a crazy infection or, you know, things like that. Fantastic at it. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world. But managing someone's diabetes, yeah, they're not that great at it.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is I think that they, you know, look at the population thinking, well, these, you know, we can't expect the people to actually do anything. So we'll give them a pill.
Right.
Where there are so many people that come to our clinic and they're like, I would totally do whatever you tell me to do if that means that I could cure a chronic disease.
Right. Or at least improve it.
Right. Exactly.
Just improve it.
Lessen the symptoms.
Lessen the symptoms. Lessen the medication. I mean, I can't tell you how many people come into us, see us, and they're on 8, 10, 12 meds, and they're finally like, you know what? This just is not working. Did you really need to get to 8, 10, 12 meds to finally figure out that it wasn't working? Could you possibly think that it wasn't working at 5?
Yeah. And we have all different levels.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has their point,
yeah.
their tipping point.
Everyone has
like,
a tipping
this
point.
This no longer seems right.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, all right, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this whole conventional medicine and chronic disease. You're listening to Wellness 101. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning into the show today, we're talking about conventional medicine and chronic disease and how it's not really the best model suited for helping people that have chronic disease. So basically, what we're just trying to get the point, one of the points we're trying to get across is that we've just reached a point where chronic disease has become so common in this country that we just think it's normal. And I mean, half of everyone out there is suffering from a chronic disease. So if you're listening to this show or listening to this podcast and you think, oh, it's not me, look around, see if there's someone else with you. If there's someone else with you, one of you has a chronic disease. If there are four of you in the room, two of you have a chronic disease and one of you have more than one. So look around in your car, figure out how many people are around you. That's the statistical average. We're not just immune to this stuff. This stuff is rampant and it's everywhere. And we've got to get a handle on this. We've got to do something and we have to make it our personal responsibility because we've figured out that the government isn't going to help us. They're not going to educate us in a way that's actually going to fix the issue. They're just not. They don't have the resources. They don't have the time. They don't have the ability to do that sort of stuff. You have to take it upon yourself to start looking, hey, how can I actually help my heart disease? Is it reversible? Is my diabetes, you know, fixable? Can I really get my hemoglobin A1C from 10 down to 6 or 5.7? Is that possible? Well, I'm here to tell you, yes, it is. And I know that it is because I've seen stuff like this happen in our clinic. Because when people are given the information that they need to make the choices and decisions that they need to make themselves healthier, they get better.
Right.
They go to the doctor and they're like, my doctor just told me to eat better. What is that? I look at them, I'm like, what did that mean to you? And they're like, well, I don't know. They just said eat better. I'm like, exactly, because they didn't understand what it is that you were looking for. They probably don't even understand what it means to actually eat better. They just don't.
If they tried to explain it, they would probably give you the wrong information.
Right.
Because that's typically what we see.
Right.
And for a long time, the American Heart Association was coming out with guidelines that we know now is not good for your heart. So it's amazing how little information they put out and how wrong the information is that they do put out.
Right. And it takes forever. I mean, it's going to be another 30 years minimum before you start seeing changes in guidelines that reflect the types of things that you need to be eating, the types of exercise that needs to be done. Shoot, I'm really happy when patients just come in and exercise. I don't even really drive them to the exercise that's really going to work. I'm just excited that they get up and move.
Right. No, exactly. And I want to say, I mean, I do think that some of this is changing as far as the way that medical doctors are looking at this, because we are continually getting referrals from medical doctors, because
right.
a lot of this stuff, they're understanding what they can do doesn't work, but they're not able to do what actually will work, or they're not sure exactly the method of going about it.
Right.
And I think it's amazing that, you know, we do have so many medical doctors out there who are taking the initiative to refer out
right.
to someone who can, because I believe 5 to 10 years ago, that would have never happened.
Right.
They would never have sent someone to a functional medicine clinic. They just
right.
wouldn't have.
No, they wouldn't. And likelihood is they wouldn't have known that it existed, and they wouldn't have known what it was that we actually do.
Right. And I want to say, I mean, those, you know, it's certainly not the norm,
not the
at this point.
No.
It's not. And I mean, there are a lot of medical doctors out there who are, you know, against what we do.
Right.
And they think, you know, well, that would never work. And I would know about it if
right.
it was going to work. But, you know, I want to say there is a change.
Right.
I mean, there is
and
shift.
Sometimes patients aren't ready for it either.
Oh, that's, exactly.
Sometimes people come into our clinic and we sit down and we talk to them and explain to them, look, this is really what's going on. This is actually very serious conditions that you have happening with you. And these are the steps that are necessary to fix it. And they're not ready. They're just flat out not ready to make the changes that are needed. They're not ready to change their diet. They're not ready to exercise. They're not ready to take the nutritional supplements or get the IVs or do the therapies, that whatever it is that's needed for them. And they just look at me and they're like, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, okay, well, you know what? You know where we are. We're right here.
Right.
When you're ready to make that decision and make that step, we'll be here and we'll hold your hand and we'll help you get through this forest of information and come out on the other side significantly healthier than you are right now.
Right.
And for the most of them, they come in when they're going to have a grandchild or they're going to have a child.
Yeah.
That's when they turn the things around, because they're
all
like,
of a sudden, they're like, yeah, I need to be around for a while.
That's right.
And I want to be active.
Right.
You know?
They want to be active. That's exactly right.
Right.
They don't want their grandchildren to come over and all they can do is sit in a chair because they can't get up and move around and go outside and walk around with them or anything.
Yeah. And I want to say, I mean, I know we've hit on diabetes quite a bit. And again, I know we said this at the beginning. We're talking about type 2 diabetes.
Right.
Type 1 is a different animal. Type 2 diabetes is, I mean, that can significantly be changed. But from our experience, diabetics are one of the hardest groups to get them to actually change. And
right.
we've talked about sugar addiction. I mean, that's a real thing. And there are things that we can do in the clinic that make that transition so much easier.
Right.
But unfortunately, you know, I think diabetics as a whole are one of the hardest groups to get them to actually make the change.
Right.
And it's an addiction.
And another group that's hard to make a change is those that have pretty crazy cardiovascular disease and they don't really know it. We have people that come to us a lot and they're just tired. They just want to feel better and be more energized. And we talk to them about their stuff and they haven't been to the doctor in a while, but they don't really want to go the modern medicine route. They don't want to take pills. They know they don't want to take the medications that are out there. And so, like, you know what? I just want to be checked out and figured out what's going on. We tell them, look, you have pretty crazy raging cardiovascular disease. Then they look at me and say, well, I don't feel bad.
Right.
Right. Well, half the population that has their first heart attack this year, and there's going to be about 600,000 of us that have our first heart attack this year. Half of us out there that have that are going to have normal cholesterol levels. Cholesterol is not the driver of cardiovascular
right.
disease, regardless of what research and literature is trying to shove down your throat on a daily basis. That is not the driver of heart disease.
We know that. The science shows that.
Yes, repeatedly, over and over again, it's not the driver of heart disease. And unfortunately, it's something that's slow. It starts in the second decade of life. This starts when you're significantly starts when you're between 10 and 19 years of age. First decade of life is 0 to 9, 10 to 19 years of age. There's tons of research out there that proves it over and over again. These are things that you don't feel happening. And by the time you get to 50, it's been a 30 or 40 year increase and happening. Of course you're not going to feel that. It's not a velocity of change that you're going to feel.
Right. And a lot of times, you know, I mean, we applaud people who come into the clinic and say, I just want to make sure that I'm healthy. I mean,
right.
that is the absolute best thing that you can do. And I get that it's a shock when you come in and you think, you know, I just wondered if I needed a couple of supplements or, you know, something like, I'm a little more tired than what I used to be, so right. maybe there's something, and then to find out that they're, no, actually, you have a major problem going on. But right. that happens. And I think, you know, and I'd said that about diabetics, I think that one of the things that we've seen is that those who are thin and have diabetes, it's harder to get them to change.
Oh, they're completely blown away.
Because those who are diabetic and are overweight, if they do start to make the change, they're going to see a difference. And right. it's going to, I mean, not only in how they feel, because everyone will see that, but in how they look and how much, you know, it changes their body. Those who are thin and are diabetic, they don't have that. So they don't have that, you know, an additional driving force to help them make that change.
Right. Well, and, you know, to accentuate the point on chronic disease being, you know, such a big monster, 70% of deaths, remind you, like I said before, 70% of deaths in this country are directly attributed to chronic disease. But back at the turn of the century in 1900, the major causes of death were all acute infectious problems. Things like tuberculosis, typhoid, and pneumonia were what killed people in the 1900s. So in 117 years, we've gone from the three major causes of death being infection to the seven of the top 10 major causes of death being chronic disease. That's not happenstance. This is, there are a lot of things that are driving that. It's, you know, the way we eat, the lack of movement. There's so many things that lead to this. I can't express enough how big of an issue that is. And, you know, we'll have people that argue, well, we didn't live long enough to get chronic diseases in the 1900s. Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know that that's 100% true. Yeah, we had accidents and, you know, if you cut your leg or something like that, you were more likely to get an infection and die. But for the most part, if you didn't get an infection, you were going to live about the same amount of time as we live now. That's just kind of how it is. I mean, we have people in other countries that lived 100 years or more, and our average life expectancy is not even 80 yet. I mean, it's sad.
Right. Plus, a lot of the people who are living longer, and not all, I mean, definitely, but a lot of people who are living longer are not living, you know, it's not a quality of life after a while.
No.
So, I mean, just because we can keep you alive does not mean that you're actually living.
Right. I mean, we've all heard somebody out there say, well, if I ever get to that point, just put me down kind of thing. Well, I completely understand because, I mean, there's so many people out there that they can't get around. They can't breathe. They can't walk. They can't do anything. They can't drive.
Right.
And they just
feel like they're a drain on their family.
Yeah.
You know, the people who are having to, you know, they have to rely on to do their everyday tasks or, you
right.
know. So, yeah.
So there's an interesting study. It came out in the Lancet Journal, which is a pretty well-known medical journal out there. It published, let me find it here. Oh, in April of this year, April of 2017, basically the study showed that they looked at this group, the Simony, I think is how you pronounce that. I'm not really sure. It starts with a T. It's a weird group. But this group of individuals had an 80% decrease or 80% lower prevalence of atherosclerosis than the United States. 9 out of 10 of these adults between 40 and 94 years old had clean arteries and faced virtually no risk of cardiovascular disease. That's astounding. I mean, they were not living a Western lifestyle.
Right.
They were not stressed like we are. And we haven't even gotten into stress as a driver of chronic disease. My gosh. Wait till we open up that can of worms. All right. So Liz is telling us we've got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the consequences of chronic disease. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking today, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about chronic disease and conventional medicine and we've kind of gone off on some tangents. Aaron decided to go off on a couple of tangents. I'm not really sure. We just let her go. Before the break, we were talking about the study that was published in the Lancet Journal in April of this year, April of 2017, that was talking about this Simone or something tribe. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm probably butchering it. But
yeah, we're sorry to those people.
Yeah, we're sorry to them.
I'm sure
they're probably
it's not correct.
They're probably listening to the podcast. So This population, they're in Bolivia. They are subsistence farmer, hunter-gatherers. Basically, their diet consists of meat, fish, fruit, vegetables, nuts and seeds, and some starchy plants. They walk about 8 miles a day. They spend a huge amount of time outdoors. They get lots of sleep, and they aren't exposed to any type of artificial light at night. So, for those of you who have been to our clinic, those are all things that we talk to you about as a new patient. We talk about sleep and how important it is to have a really dark room when you sleep. We talk about getting out and moving. We also talk about diet as well. But like we said before the break, 80% lower prevalence of atherosclerosis in that group of people versus the United States.
Right. So this is not complicated stuff.
No.
This is like very basic stuff. It's the complications that of, you know, modern society that has made chronic disease so prevalent. So it's not like, you know, I mean, we've made great advances in modern medicine, you know, as far as saving people's lives.
Sure.
But, you know, we also, you know, our modern society has also led to an increase in chronic disease.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, we're very good at fixing, you know, life-threatening acute problems, but we're not very good at helping. Modern medicine is not very good at helping these long-term chronic problems. And chronic disease, you know, we said before the break that we were going to come back and we're going to talk about consequences of chronic disease. Chronic disease is not a small problem. It's not like, oh, I just have heart disease and it's no big deal. Oh, I just have diabetes, it's no big deal. Oh, I just have COPD. There is a massive amount of complex physiological things going on inside any single person dealing with chronic disease. And remember, 70% of us out there are going to have, our cause of death is going to be related to a chronic disease. Half of us have one chronic disease, 25% right now have more than one. So it's everyone out
right
there.
And while they can, you know, hit you at any age, as you get older, you are much more likely to increase the number of chronic diseases that you have.
Right.
If you're not addressing it.
Right.
You know, if you are addressing it, then, of course, your risk goes down.
Right. So, I mean, this is just devastating to Western countries, Western civilization, our whole lives. I mean, our lifespan is shortening. We had the first decrease in lifespan in I forget how many years, just this last year. Our quality of life is worse.
Explain that. It's the first time that we will live shorter.
It's the first time that we will live shorter than our children. Or no, our children will live shorter than us for the first
right
time in a bunch of years.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly. It's been quite a few. But you know, not only that, it's bankrupting. I mean, there are estimates out there for all different kinds of ranges because nobody really knows how to estimate healthcare costs because they're spiraling out of control. But everyone's pretty certain, any economist, doesn't matter who you are, can pretty much say, yeah, if we keep going at this rate of healthcare spending, our country's going to go bankrupt. And that's just the country, just on healthcare. We're spending entirely too much money on it, let alone the general public, us as people. We're going bankrupt because that's still the number one cause of bankruptcy in the country is medical bills. It's the number one cause. And, you know, most all of us have health insurance now. It's still not helping.
Right. And well, and I can talk about that specifically, you know, somewhat. I know, you know, I don't talk a lot about, you know, what I guess it brought me to the point where I'm, you know, so interested in all of this. But I have a number of chronic diseases that are under control and I don't have symptoms. And we've come a long way with it. There are some things, you know, I have Hashimoto's, I have celiac, and I have Sjogren's. Those are things that aren't going to go away. But I, on a day-to-day basis, you wouldn't know it. I mean, other than the fact that, you know, people generally know I don't eat gluten because I'm around a lot of people that do eat gluten. And
right.
So, but I mean, other than that, you would never know. And I am feeling great. But the process it took to get to the point where I actually got a diagnosis, and that was actually after, you know, I started seeing TJ, that he's like, something isn't right. You know, I thought I was as good as it was going to get. I was seeing medical doctors, and I thought, well, you know, this is what my life is. But
And it was pitiful, by the way.
It was
pitiful
better
quality
than what it had been. Because I had started, you know, I had started seeing an alternative health practitioner and I had actually gotten, I mean, you know, he didn't know me when I was just horrible. But the cost that was associated with that, and I always had insurance. the cost that was associated with that, by the time I got to a point where I was like, wait a second, these medical doctors don't have a clue what they're doing. And the reason I got to that point was, I mean, I had always been, you know, very active and, you know, kind of type A personality where I could barely function.
Very type A personality.
It is. It's who I am. I've always been that way, except for the time when I was sick and I was no longer able to work. At one point, I finally got down where I was struggling to stay over 80 pounds. I'm 5'6". And I thought, and the doctors would say, but there's nothing wrong with you. And I'm like,
how many times did I tell you had an eating disorder?
Yeah, an eating disorder. Or I was, you know, there must be something psychological going on.
Right.
And I'm like, well, maybe.
Because that's what the problem is. When you don't know what the answer
exactly.
is, it's always psychological.
You must be crazy. And I feel like that is more, you know, if you're a woman, I feel like, and maybe that's wrong, but I do feel like doctors, you know, tend to look at that more with women, or maybe it's just that women are usually more proactive about going to their doctors and saying, hey, something's wrong. But when I knew I was trying to gain weight, and it was not until my weight got down that low that I thought, these people are crazy. Like, they don't have a clue what's going on. And I actually had gone to see a psychiatrist, and he said, I think something else is, you know, I mean, going on here too, because he had put me on an antidepressant and I had severe reactions. And he's like, what do you think's going on? And I'm like, I think it's something internal. Something internal is going on that we have not figured out. But when I first saw him, I'm like, I don't think I'm crazy, but do crazy people think they're crazy? Like, maybe not. So it made sense to me. And he's like, no, something else is going on. So my whole point with this is that the expense that goes along, by the time I got to the point where I was thinking, okay, medical doctors, I mean, they don't know what they're doing. I mean, they do not know how to treat me. I had spent so much money and I was to a point where I was no longer able to work that the thought, the expense of then going outside of the, you know, insurance system was terrifying. And that's what I ended up having to do. I mean, I started putting things on credit cards, which I would normally, anyone who knows me, like, so against how I do anything. But looking back, I mean, I would never have been able to function again. I mean, it was actually the best decision I could have made to actually start getting treatment outside of the normal medical system. But it took me a long time to pay that off. So I get how expensive it is. And I also want to say, like, we understand, those of you who come in and you say, okay, you know, I don't know if I have the money to do this. And the thing is, you find a way when you realize it's that important. And I don't think it's a lack of, I mean, yeah, money is going to be difficult, but I think it's not a lack of money or a lack of time as much as it is a lack of hope. Because once you have the hope and you really are like, wait a second, these people can actually help me. That's the point where I got, and I was like, I will find a way.
So let's go a little further there. Tell the people about how long, once you finally made the decision to step in that other model of healthcare, that where somebody might be able to actually help you, how long did it take to turn the ship around and get you at least feeling better, not back to where you are right now, but at least feeling better to where you could actually function in the world as a normal contributing human being?
I want to say going from where I was basically bedridden to being able to, you know, function, it probably took about 3 months. To where I thought, and then that's when I would have started going back to work just a few hours a week. That's how crazy it was. But I would say within 6 months, I mean, I had this motive, you know, like this momentum behind me where I was like, this is actually working. And so, I mean, realistically, probably took a couple of years before I was back to normal. I mean, and I'm just being honest, I had been sick for a long time, but I mean, if you had asked me after 3 months, I mean, I was ecstatic because I could tell I was on the right track. And that's all you really need is that momentum behind you.
She could actually carry on a conversation, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
That was difficult in the very beginning.
It was difficult. And I would forget words. I mean, there's so many things. When your body isn't functioning correctly, I mean, you know, I've said this before. I mean, I'm an attorney. I'm a talker by nature. And to not be able to pull up common words, like, that was something that was terrifying. It made me scared to talk to anyone because I couldn't even remember basic words when I was trying to hold a conversation.
And That's Aaron's story, ladies and gentlemen.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. I'm sure we'll come back to that because there's a lot there.
Financial portion of that, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, we've got to take another break. When we come back, we're just going to continue on down this path. I'm pretty sure we're going to have enough for a couple of parts to this. So stick around. We're talking about conventional medicine and chronic disease. You're listening to Wellness 101. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in, you missed quite the story. Aaron told her the brief history of Aaron's health. It was very exciting.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it fit in well. Let people realize that there is hope and that there is a chance that things can get better. But you know that has to happen, and it comes when people finally say, okay, I'm going to be responsible for my own health.
Right.
And well, I want to take control of me.
And that there is hope out there because, right. I mean, I get the skepticism. And I think that's one of the reasons, you know, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we have the show. That's one of the reasons why you spend so much time with patients is because, I mean, that it makes sense. And especially if you've been really sick, you've had so many people tell you, well, this is the answer. And right. It's not. And so by the time you decide to go outside the medical system, I mean, you're so skeptical of everything at that point because you've had so many false promises.
Right. And I don't think a lot of people realize that a lot of doctors are, you know, if you go, I don't know who I'm going to pick on here. Pick a specialist, nephrologist. We'll just use a nephrologist, for instance. If you have a kidney issue and you go to a nephrologist and they tell you something and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to get a second opinion. And you go to another nephrologist and another nephrologist and another nephrologist. Pretty much all nephrologists are treated or are trained the exact same way. You got to get outside of traditional training to be able to get a different outlook on what's actually going on.
Right. Well, and I think that's a good point. I think what we really do differently is that we really are focused on what will work because I'm just thinking, okay, say someone has to, you know, is referred to a nephrologist. The thinking in the way I would have looked at it before all of this happened to me is, okay, well, then I go to see the nephrologist. They're right. The expert. I don't go and see some guy who, you know, I mean, some group of doctors who have, you know, this isn't what they specialize in and have a completely different way of doing it than all of the kidney specialists.
Right.
I mean, I would be extremely skeptical too.
However, fortunately for those of you out there listening, my PhD is in physiology. Well, it's in kinesiology. My emphasis was in physiology. So I am an expert in how the body functions at a cellular level.
Right.
And that's what's critical. We're not looking at the body as a physiological being. If you take something for your kidney, it's going to affect your liver. It's going to affect your brain. It's going to affect your gut. It's just knowing how it's going to do it.
Right.
That's what's important.
And all of that makes sense. And I think that, you know, once that, you know, people start digesting that, they're like, okay, you know, that the thought process makes sense. But if you get to the point where, you know, sent to a nephrologist, it's scary.
Right.
And you think, okay, well, they must know, you know, what they're doing. And they think people who go to someplace like the Institute of Natural Health are those who want to, you know, I'm just thinking this is what I would have thought is that's for people who are like, okay, I don't want to take a pill. I want to do things as naturally as possible, which is great. But me being very type A was like, I don't care what's natural. I want what works.
Right.
I want what's going to actually fix me so I can get back to my job and get my stuff done and, you know, or spend time with my friends and family because that's what I want to focus on. I'm not going to spend all this time like saying, oh, I want to do it the natural way. I want to do the way that works. And that's what we actually do.
Right. No, and no offense out there to any nephrologists who are listening.
Right.
We know you do a good job. We actually get referrals from nephrologists.
And
so.
We actually, more than any specialist, I know it's because we get a lot of diabetic patients, the nephrologists, when we have patients and, you know, we put them on a program, a lot of times they go back to their nephrologist. Nephrologists, I feel like more than any other specialists say, yeah, this plan is what will actually fix you.
Right.
I mean, they don't look at it and say, I don't know why they, you know, put you on this. They're actually extremely supportive for right. The most part.
Pulmonologists are another group that do it too. So lung doctors out there, for those of you listening, that's another group who are very interested in getting reports back from us and seeing how their patients are progressing.
Right. Because we make huge differences.
Right.
I mean, it really, it's amazing.
Right. So, yeah, we've kind of went off on a crazy tangent
I'm
here.
Sorry. I think that was me, and I'm in charge of keeping us on track.
Yeah.
So that's what happens.
So we're off the rails here.
Yeah.
We just have a few minutes left. We'll just kind of talk about some other patients. So we just had a patient in the office. She's been coming to us for a few months now, not an ungodly amount of time by any means. And I saw her, and she was so happy. She was so excited. She was jumping up and down, and she just was like, "Give me a hug. Please give me a hug." And I mean, you can see this person. This lady is a completely different human being from the person who walked into our clinic as sick as could be, blood pressure through the roof, jittery, heart rate just skyrocketing, and she's relaxed, she's calm, she feels great, she's smiling, she's laughing, she doesn't have this sense of impending doom anymore, and she was just over the moon. And when she's jumping up and down and excited, and sitting in the room are six or eight other patients, and they see the same thing, the immediate question is, hey, what did you do? What happened? What's going on? And we just let her tell her story. This is where I was. This is how, this is what was going on. This is what was found. This is how we fixed it.
Well, and really,
it's powerful.
And that's why I think, I mean, first of all, our patients are always our best advertisement. I mean, they always have been. And because they do get really excited about the improvements that they've made. But I also think you can feel that as soon as you come into the clinic. And that's why people, before they even get started, are like, okay, this is the place that I need to be. Because there is, I mean, it's just an energy in there where there is hope. And there is, I mean, you can tell there's healing going on.
Right. Yeah.
You can tell all the people really care about you.
Right. We had another, that's exactly right. All of us at the clinic, we care. We ask, how are you doing? How's your family? How's your mom and them's? That's what we do. We just had a lady come in the other day. This was Friday morning, just a couple days ago. And she was, one of the comments that she made as we were talking to her, going through her new patient consultation, was, "What are all these people doing here? I can't believe it. All these people walked in. They just walked right by me. I'm sitting in the lobby and they just walk right by and they're doing their thing." And she's like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's the kind of the culture that we're starting to build around here.
Right.
It's going.
Yeah. I think people are amazed at how many people we have, how many people are in the clinic. And I mean, it's a great atmosphere. It really is.
Right. And trying to introduce all of our employees. That's an
right. Exactly.
Oh yeah. This is so-and-so. This is so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes a chore.
But they
sometimes do
kind of, I mean, especially those who are in our clinic a lot. I mean, they become like family. They really do.
Absolutely.
I mean, we truly care about every person. And I want to say, I know we kind of touched on this, earlier talking about me. I know one of the things that I feel like really sets, us apart and definitely sets TJ apart is, we talked kind of about my story and everything I've gone through. And the fact that, he really cares. It's one thing to go to a doctor who reads about things and, learns what the science says and how they need to treat it. Because, I mean, and we've talked before that TJ does that all the time. I mean, he's kind of a nerd and he likes to read research articles. But at the same time,
doesn't even hurt my feelings.
So while that's one aspect of it, there are other doctors out there like that. It is something completely different to go to someone who is coming home to that every single night.
Right.
Because, I mean, like I said, while I don't have symptoms, I'm dealing with three autoimmune conditions. I mean, so this is something that, is day in and day out. And there are, if things get stressful, then you can have a flare. And, I know what I need to be doing, but I think that's where a lot of that compassion comes from, is that, he sees both sides of it.
Right. I know what it's, that's exactly right. I know exactly what it's like to be on either side of the fence. And, sometimes I put a cape on when I'm reading because I'm super nerd. Maybe I need a cape. I don't have a cape. Maybe I need one.
I was going to say, you just made yourself nerdier then.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't even care. I don't even care. That's how much I've accepted it. All right. So that's about all the time we have for today. We're going to come back. We're going to talk next week week about the same stuff. We've got so many notes. We've kind of went off on a tangent. We just let it go. I want to invite you, go to our website, read about us, call us, 314-293-8123. Email us, send us a message on Facebook.
Right, and follow us on Facebook. We put a ton of info
yes,
out on Facebook.
Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
We've got stuff going all the time. Yeah, that's about that. So feel free. We're talking about next week. We're going to be talking about conventional medicine and chronic disease. For Aaron and Wellness 101, I'm your host, Dr. TJ. We will talk to you later.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.